Amen. What if we could turn to Matthew, the third chapter? The beginning, toward the beginning of Matthew. And in the third chapter, we find Brother John the Baptist coming on the scene. So let me read the first couple of verses here. It says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Apparently, this one sentence is a very good summary of the message of John the Baptist. How many times he said it, in what manner he said it, I don't know. But apparently this message had a lot of power, because many people were coming. It says, and that same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat or his food was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. So we see a principle, first of all, is baptism of repentance. This principle was established by John the Baptist. It was the word of Christ himself. And what was he doing? He was bringing a word to prepare the hearts of men for what? The kingdom of God. Amen. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are really the same thing. Don't try to say one is one thing and one is another. In another gospel, you'll find it said the kingdom of God. Here it is, the kingdom of heaven. Now, let's go a little bit further, because it wasn't just John that preached that. Now, when we go over to the fourth chapter here of Matthew and look in the 17th verse, well, first of all, let's put this in context. At this point now, Jesus heard that John was already put in prison. So he had finished his work of being the messenger to prepare the way, okay? And it says Jesus came on the scene here in fulfillment of the prophet Isaiah. And I'll read verse 16. "The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." Okay, so the message of the kingdom, the word of the kingdom, the life of the kingdom brings light into the souls of men that have been in darkness and without hope. Now in verse 17, it says, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Now you go through the rest of Matthew, you go through Mark, you go through Luke, you go through John. You don't really hear much written in these other books about Jesus saying, "Repent, repent, repent." John the Baptist called repent, and he must have called it out with a great anointing, with a great shout, and it must have hit the people hard in their heart and realized that there was something terrible going on in their soul that they needed to repent of. So Jesus also preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, what does this mean? What does this mean, the kingdom of heaven is at hand? What does the word "at hand" mean? Well, it means it's here. It's right on the cusp. It's almost here. I mean, you can almost reach out and touch it. It's that close. I mean, you're only gonna, it's only gonna be a little while. You're gonna see the kingdom of God. So, what is and what was the kingdom of God? What was the kingdom of God? I don't know what you went through in your life to get an understanding of what this kingdom of God was all about. Maybe you never thought about it. Maybe you never questioned it. Maybe you just, well, saved and sanctified and born again, I'm on my way to heaven. That was about all you needed to know. And well, just go on, live my life now, and whatever happens, happens. But I've got it locked in, and I don't need to worry, and I don't need to ask any more questions. Well, maybe that's where you were. But I don't know. I was kind of a curious fellow, and I don't think I was really the smartest fellow in the world. I probably have normal intelligence. I made it through school and all that. And yet I couldn't figure out what this thing of the kingdom of God was all about. I didn't worry a lot about it, but I remember I was in college, in my probably about 20 years old, and I went into the college bookstore. It was a Christian college, by the way. Went into the bookstore and I saw this paperback book in there, and the title of the book was The Kingdom of God in America. And something just clicked in me, and I thought, oh, I can find out what the kingdom of God is. Get this book. Well, in those days, I hardly had two nickels to rub
Rainer,
together.
I'm gonna give it to you.
Hold on, we got to mute
There you
somebody
go.
here. Okay, there we go. Like I said, I hardly had two nickels to rub together, but I did spend what little money I had. I don't know, might have cost me $1 or something to buy that book. I took it home and I opened it up and I started to read it, and I found out all this book is a definition of all the churches and denominations that the author could find out about in America. And I was rather disappointed. I thought, well, is that really all there is to it? The kingdom of God is just a bunch of denominations, a bunch of church systems, and everything else. If that's all it is, why does the word of God keep saying that the kingdom is at hand? When did this kingdom come about? Jesus said it was at hand. John the Baptist said it was at hand. Well, but nobody ever came along and said, well, it's here now. The kingdom is here. So I went for years again, in the church, trying to be a good old boy, trying to behave myself, and trying to learn what there was to learn about the kingdom of God. Yet still, I did not comprehend what it really meant that the kingdom of God was at hand. Now, look over here with me at Luke, the 12th chapter, because Jesus begins to give teaching on what the kingdom of God really is. So, here we are, Luke 12. Let's come to verse 49, okay? Well, maybe I should go back to Matthew and read another verse or two here in Matthew to get this in context. Because John went on and he said, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? So he was also preaching of the judgment and the wrath of God that was going to come, but it did not fully come in his time, in his generation. Now, he goes on. He says, bring forth therefore fruit, meet for repentance. Bring forth some action that shows that you have repented. All right. And he goes on, don't say within yourself, we have Abraham our father. For I say unto you, God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And now also the axe is laid to the root. We talked about the laying that axe to the root of bitterness. Amen. And where is this axe laid to? It's laid to something in our soul. What is this axe? This axe is the word of God anointed by the Holy Spirit to bring changes in our soul. So we're getting a hint here as to what the kingdom is. It's something that's going to take place in our soul. Amen. And then he says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that is coming after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So we're getting a baptism, okay, not only in water, but a baptism in fire is what he's talking about here. Let me go on. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Have any of you ever seen the harvesting done in the manner that John the Baptist is describing it here, where the cattle walk across the sheaves and break up the seeds, bring it off the, and then throw it in the air, and then a fan, somebody comes with a fan and begins to fan it to fan away the chaff. Have anybody ever seen people do that? Brethren, we were in Ethiopia, and there were men, I don't know that they were brethren, but there were men harvesting, and they were doing it the way that John the Baptist is talking about it now. So what he's saying is that there's a purging of the floor, and there's a fire that's going to come, that he will baptize you with fire. Now, one of the things that a little bit confused me about in the early days of my Christian life is what was baptism? Because when we were baptized, we all, those of us that wanted to be baptized, we came up in the front of the church, and it seems like we kneeled down there in front, and the bishop, brethren, the elders, whatever, came along, and they poured water on our head, and the water kind of fell on the floor in front of us, and we were baptized. We believed we were baptized. But you know what? Since then, I've looked up the meaning of the word baptized, and it means to completely immerse in water. Completely immerse in water. Well, I was in my 30s, and I remembered that definition, and I thought, you know what? I don't think I've been properly baptized. How am I going to be a full partaker of the kingdom of God if I haven't been truly baptized? So we were fellowshipping at the time with an assembly. So I told the brethren, I said, I'd like to be baptized properly in water. Well, they had a tank up at the front of the church, and so they put me in water, and they baptized me in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And I was baptized in water. Well, there came a time when I realized that I had to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I remember very clearly, I was up here in Lewis County, and I went to the Beaver Camp. I was to be the director for a week. I was a volunteer. And I came to Brother Milton, and I said, Brother Milton, if you'll lay hands on me, I will receive the Holy Spirit. You probably heard this story before. And I said, he says, well, have you read the book that I sent you? It was the book by Cheryl, I think it was, They Speak in Other Tongues. I said, "No, I didn't read the book you sent me, Brother Milton, but I know what's written in the book of Acts. And I know that if you lay hands on me, I'll receive the Holy Spirit." Well, this is before the camp really opened. We got there early. Well, he says, "Let me go find another brother." And so he found another brother, and we went into a little cabin. I think I got down on my knees, as I recall, and the two brethren stood on each side of me and laid hands on me, and they began to pray. And you know what? The Holy Spirit fell on me like a power like I've never ever seen, never ever heard before. It just erupted. I mean, I just erupted in tongues. I couldn't believe what had happened to me, and yet I could because I had faith. I told the brother, I said, "All you got to do is lay hands on me." Well, you know, God could have done it without man laying hands on me. Now, that's how Sister Janet got it. She got it by just kneeling down by her bed and just asking the Lord to baptize her in the Holy Spirit. Now, we're talking about the kingdom of God here, brethren. We're talking about coming into the kingdom of God. Now, you know, I was tasting of the kingdom of God when I was saved, when I was baptized in water, when I was baptized in water truly, and when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. But you know what? I still don't think that I was really in the kingdom of God. And I was still, if I might say so, I was still participating in the outer court. Now, I was saved. If I had died that day, I would have gone right into heaven. I would have been among the saints, among the angels, but I wasn't really in this earth in the kingdom of God. What was John and Jesus talking about? The kingdom of God coming. All right, well, before we finish this baptism, let's look what Luke says in chapter 12, verse 49. And he says, "I am come to send fire on the earth." Well, where is the earth? What is the earth? The earth is my carnal realm. How many of you have been through fire? Amen? Come on. Yeah, it's okay. We've been through fire. You know what? That's good. You know where that fire came from? Jesus said, "I came to send fire." Amen. I came to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? So during his days here on earth, he was saying it really hasn't been fully kindled yet. You know, but when I go, I'm going to send that fire back. So we're going to be baptized. I have a baptism to be baptized with. That means totally immersed. To be baptized in fire is not just to have a burnt finger. You know, it's not just to have a little heat applied to, you know, maybe it's uncomfortable a little bit, but it's not really fire. You know, he said, "I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straited? How am I what? How am I distressed till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you nay, but rather division." So when the kingdom of God comes into a family, if it doesn't come to every family member, if every family member isn't open to it, what's going to happen? It's going to bring strife, it's going to bring division, because the kingdom of God is not going to get along well with some other kingdom. Amen? With the kingdoms of this world, with the kingdoms of Satan. Amen? All right. So, what is the kingdom of God? Let's go back to Matthew for a little bit, and we're going to get some more definition. Matthew chapter 13, we have a nice little definition. And by the way, it seems that Jesus spent all his days giving parables, trying to tell the people, what really is the kingdom of God? Okay? In other words, the scribes and the Pharisees came to John and he was preaching the kingdom of God. Well, now he knew they were coming, that they were interested in another kingdom. They were interested in the kingdom of religion, not in the kingdom that he was preaching. Because he's saying, if you wanna enter in, the first step of entering in is repentance. Amen. And repentance means you're gonna have to change your ways. You're gonna have to change your ways of acting. You're gonna have to change your ways of thinking. You're gonna have to change your attitude. You're gonna have to change your aspirations, your goals, the things that you want to do. Amen. In other words, the whole thing about your soul is going to have to change from oriented to yourself into the orienting to the kingdom of God, to heaven. Amen. All right, now in chapter 13, verse 44, there's just one little verse here that is one little parable. Okay? Now he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof he goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. What would you do? Get back into your carnal thinking again now. What would you do if you just happened to be walking out there in the open realm somewhere, and your foot kind of hit something as you're walking, and you look down, and oh my goodness. And so you begin to dig around this thing that your foot touched, and you discover it's a tremendous treasure. I mean, it's worth millions of dollars, but you don't own it. And you know you can't just pick that thing up and take it with you because somebody else owns that field. So it is something that you want so desperately, amen, so desperately that you're going to have to buy it. But the price that the owner wants for that field is everything that you've got. Do you follow what I'm saying? You're going to have to sell, you're going to have to give up everything that you've got if you want to own that thing. Now, what is that thing? That thing is called the kingdom of God. Did you ever come to the point where you wanted the kingdom of God so bad that you were ready and willing to abandon everything else that you had? Follow me, brethren. Your career, your hope, your plans, your aspirations, everything. Well, about the time I began to discover the kingdom of God, I was in my 30s. I really didn't have the whole thing yet, but I knew that there was something that I needed to have. I knew there was something more, and the Holy Spirit was one of the steps. Then there was another step after that. And I remember the day that Rita was reading a verse the other night. Where was it found? We were reading in Romans, the goodness of God. What, how did that verse go, Rita? Yeah, there it is. The goodness of God leadeth all men to repentance. And it was the time, actually, it was when Kenneth Hagin, how many of you ever heard of Kenneth Hagin? He was one of these, he was a faith preacher. Came up to Glens Falls, New York, and we went to I don't know, it was a little Ramada Inn or something. And I had my little daughter, Kara. She was about 3 years old. She had little lumps under her, in her parotid area here. And he says, well, I'm going to pray for anybody that has a problem in their neck. And I thought, oh, well, that qualifies. So I took her up there and he laid hands on her and he went down the row, have faith, brother, have faith, don't doubt, don't doubt. Went down the road just like that, praying for everybody. Well, I'm trying desperately to pump up my faith, and I said, don't doubt, don't doubt, gotta have faith, gotta have faith. So I don't know how to have faith, but I'm pumping it up really good. And I thought, well, I don't dare check. If I go and feel if they're still there, that's doubt. Can't do that. Well, anyway, I'm walking out with her, and I lay my head on top of her, my hand on top of her head. I just kind of slide my fingers along the edge of her chin here, and my fingers discovered the lumps weren't there anymore. The swelling of the gland was gone. And I set her down on one of the chairs in the lobby, and I said, "Honey, come here. Daddy wants to check you out." And I was a public health nurse. I knew how these things go. These lumps don't go away. They stay a long time until they gradually go away. These were gone, just like that. They were gone. And I said, "Oh my Lord. Oh my Lord." This wasn't life or death. She wasn't going to die. But Lord, it's simply because you did this for me just because you are so good. And I made a decision that day, another decision. See, these are steps into the kingdom. You make decisions. Little one here, little one there. I said, "Lord, I am never going to turn away again. I am never going any other place. And from now on, I'm going to seek the kingdom with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my might." And you know what happened? Hell opened its mouth against me. And I tell you, that fire that Jesus said, "I have a fire to be cast upon the earth, and how I'm straited until it's kindled." Well, I got that fire, I tell you what. And there came a time, oh, that fire lasted for a long time. That I know for sure that fire, I think that fire must have gone on for 8 or 9 or 10 years or something like that. And I remember the day I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, give me a break. Give me a break. I can't take it anymore." And you know what? He took the fire away. Just I saw his hand reach and he turned that burner off. Just turned it right off, just like that. And I breathed a nice sigh of relief and I said, "Oh, this is nice." Well, I went through 2 or 3 days. I was administrator at the nursing home. I went 2 or 3 days and I was enjoying it real good. But you know what? By Saturday, I was so worried. I said, "Lord, you know what? Ephraim is a cake half turned. You can't leave me half done. You can't leave me half baked. You've got to finish the job. And this time I'm going to cooperate with you, Lord." And I saw the hand reach back and turn that burner on. And I felt that fire come across my soul. And I actually could hear the sizzling of steak on a hot griddle. I could hear it in the spirit. And I said, "Thank you, Lord. Now you're going to finish the job. And I'm going to become a son of God." Oh, I didn't say son of God because I didn't understand then what it meant. But that was what I meant in my soul. I'm going to become a son of God. Amen. All right, let's read a little bit more here. In chapter 20 of Matthew, you've heard me read this before, but maybe with a different meaning. Now, chapter 20, let's start at verse 21. And, well, 20, the mother of Zebedee's children. Now, that's James and John, sons of thunder. I never saw John as a son of thunder. I never thought everything I've read of John didn't sound like thunder to me. Sounded like a very, 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 very blessed son of God. Anyway, she worshipped him and desired a certain thing of him. And verse 21, And he said to her, "What wilt thou?" She said to him, "Grant that my two sons may sit the one on the right hand, the other on the left in thy kingdom." Well, I can understand where that thunder came from. I mean, she's wanting her two sons to have the best positions in the kingdom. See, now this is, wait a minute. You see, the disciples still did not. This is chapter 20 of Matthew. We're almost finished with Matthew. And the disciples still did not know what the kingdom of God was. They thought that he was going to come in with a system of government. Amen. That there would be a president, secretary of state, secretary of treasury, secretary of the military, all these high positions, vice president, whatever. And the mother wanted these positions for her sons. Now, by the way, the sons did not understand the kingdom of God either. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Ye know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" Drink of the cup and be baptized. Now, we're going beyond baptism of water. We're going beyond just the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about some other baptism. Baptism into Christ is what? Baptism into his fire, because he's going to change you. He's going to burn out things that have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Amen? You know, when Brother Mike told me that day, Brother Mike from Newcomb, he says, "Brother Mark, I gave up the Lions Club." "Oh, did you?" He said, "I gave up being a volunteer fireman." I said, "Mike, why did you do all that?" He says, "Brother Mark, it has nothing to do with the kingdom of God." Amen. You know, brethren, we have opportunities to be involved in so many things in our society that have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Nothing to do with it. So let's go on. And they said to him, "We are able." And he said to them, "You shall drink indeed of my cup." What was that cup? Suffering. They were going to die as martyrs. Are you ready to drink that cup? How badly do you really want this treasure that you're willing to sell everything you've got? How badly do you want it? Amen. "And be baptized with a baptism that I am." Yes, you're going to go in. You're going to be immersed in that same thing. "But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared." Amen. So they still didn't understand what was the kingdom. Now let's go to Luke. And he's giving another clue here as to what the kingdom. Now, the passage in Luke is what really began to open my eyes to the real kingdom of God. In chapter 17, verse 20, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees," well, who are these Pharisees? What do they represent? I mean, they come to John, and John says, "You know, what are you doing here? Generation of vipers. Are you coming here to repent?" No, they weren't. And now Jesus was demanded of the Pharisees, who didn't come to repent, by the way, when the kingdom of God should come. All right, we've been hearing all this. The kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is at hand. And you see, I must have had Pharisee thinking at one time, because I was asking, "Well, when is this going to happen? You know, what is this kingdom? When is it going to happen?" You know? Amen. And he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." Wow. In other words, it's not something you're going to see with your natural eyes. You can see those denominations. You can see them all gather in their conferences. You can see their buildings. You can see their signs. You can see the big steeples on their churches. You can see all this. That's not the kingdom of God. Well, are they all evil people? No, not necessarily. They're probably good people, but still not the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, "Lo here." All right, here's now modern, what shall I say, modern Christian America. I don't know, it's probably that way in Nigeria too, other countries. Neither shall they say, "Lo here." Oh, I remember these. Oh, it's the kingdom is in, it's happening in Toronto, Canada. It's up there. You know, they got a real thing going up there. No, it's happening in Florida. Wow. I mean, miracles. I mean, people are falling down all over the place. No, it's not there. It's at some other place in Texas. It's over in Oklahoma. Oral Roberts has got the thing going over there. And, you know, lo here and lo there. Well, I went over to Connecticut one time with a group of Christians from the Capital District. We somehow they got together and got a bus together. And Jimmy Swaggart was going to be over there. Oh, he was a great preacher, by the way. I enjoyed it. Had great music, great preaching. But you know what? The man was a mortal man. It was not low here and low there. Well, I didn't go any more low here or low there after that, I don't think. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Oh, there it is. How can that be? How can there be a kingdom within me? Where? Where within me? It's my soul. It's my will. It's my desires. It's my emotions. It's my mind. In other words, it's something that is going to change who I am to make me into the image of Christ. I'm going to have to learn to think like Christ. Where am I going to get my instructions? From here, from the Word of God. Amen? So he says, "And he said unto his disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man." That's his presence, his physical presence. "And ye shall not see it. And they shall say unto you," who is the they? The religious kingdom will say unto you, "See here," or "See there." "Go not after them, nor follow them." Larry, you well remember when the buses were going to Florida. You remember that? What was that guy's name? I don't even remember his name anymore. I don't remember. I know the brother over in Johnstown, he was getting a bus load together. They were going to go down there to Florida. Other churches were going down. And this verse came to me, "Go not after them, nor follow them." Well, you know what? That guy didn't last very long. He fell into sin, and that was the last. All these great apostles and prophets were all very embarrassed that they had given such a recommendation to this young fellow. That's all it was. "Go not after them, nor follow them." All right, it's not something you're going to see. Now, let's come to John, because we're coming now to the time of his crucifixion. And the disciples still did not understand the kingdom of God. Well, we can blame poor Peter here at first. So John chapter 18, and the soldiers are coming. They're in the garden. And verse 10. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? He's come to the point where he's going to drink that cup of suffering. Amen? Actual physical suffering, soul suffering. Amen? What did Peter think that he was going to accomplish with his sword? I don't know how big this sword was. Big enough that he thought he could probably take the guy's head. No, come on, Peter wasn't aiming for that guy's ear. He was swinging it, and the guy died like that, and it caught his ear, took it off. Well, Jesus healed it right away. Now, Peter, let's go back a few verses. Let's see. Officers, priests, Pharisees come with lanterns and torches. And Jesus, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said to them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Come on, Peter. Surely you saw what happened? And you think you can stop this thing with your knife? What did he say? What was the power of that word? All he said was, I am. I am. And it knocked, should we call it an army? Small army. It knocked the whole army on their back. They fell to the ground. Surely you saw that, Peter. Something more of the kingdom than your weapons. The weapons of our warfare are what? Are not carnal. Hallelujah. But spiritual weapons, Peter. Now, the same chapter, come over to when he's before Pilate. We're talking about, and maybe start in verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Now, he's thinking about, Pilate is thinking about another kingdom here, isn't he? Do we have a kingdom that's going to be in conflict here with my Roman kingdom? And Jesus answered, saying, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of me? Couldn't he have just given a yes or no answer? No. God doesn't always do that, does he? He's striking at the thing in the man's soul, in Pilate's soul. Maybe Pilate can be saved. Maybe Pilate is thinking that I am really a king. Let's find out what he's really thinking. Maybe he can be saved. I think Jesus wanted to minister right up until the minute of his death. I mean, that thief next to him. The man was cursing him. And finally he came to where he was ready to repent. He said, Lord, remember me. And in his pain, in his dying pain, he remembered that man and promised him that he would be with him in paradise that day. So here's Pilate. And Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation, in other words, your own kingdom, and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What have you done? Amen. And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. So we know a lot of things that the kingdom is not. It's not something that you see with your eyes. It's not some organization that you file with the government, that you now become a tax exempt organization, that you join a denomination. It's none of these things. It's not some system of government, amen, something that we're going to come and we're going to take over with our weapons of our warfare, with our guns and with our knives and our swords and our cannons and our tanks and our airplanes and bombs and these little things that fly around, these drone things. No, that's not going to take the kingdom of God. It has nothing to do with it. Amen. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight? In other words, I would have told Peter to go at it. You know, maybe a couple more of you guys have got a knife. Maybe we can beat them that way. No, if my kingdom were of this world, his kingdom is not of this world. It is of another world, an invisible world. Amen. That I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Amen. So I guess we can finish at that point. It's not, Pilate, you don't need to be threatened. It's not going to interfere with your kingdom. My kingdom is something that's going to go into the heart and soul of the human beings. Let's go over into the book of Romans. My goodness, Romans is just full of heavy doctrine. Heavy doctrine. You can't just read Romans quickly and get everything there is to it. But let's look in Romans 14. Now, Paul spending a lot of time in Romans debating whether, bringing the debate to the Christians here, are we going to get this kingdom by keeping all kinds of Jewish laws and regulations and celebrations and this type of thing, circumcision, you know, how are we going to recognize the kingdom of God? Now, here's an interesting couple of verses in 14, start in verse 14, amen? For I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. You know, Jews had these laws such that if you were a Greek, they couldn't even sit down and eat with you. You were unclean, they're clean, you get contaminated, you sat down with a guy and ate food with him. Well, you can do business with him, but you can't eat food with him. I mean, these are the crazy laws that the Jews, they believe that this is their salvation. Now, some of the people were coming into the realm of the Gentiles, Christians, and they were saying, well, you can't really be a partaker of the kingdom unless you start keeping these dietary laws, these rules. I mean, you're eating, oh, look, you're eating ham. Unclean, you're unclean. You know, you can't do that. I can't have anything to do with you. All right, so he says, that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So if your conscience is bothering you and telling you it's unclean, to you it's unclean because you're under condemnation now. All right? You're condemned. You didn't need to be condemned, but because you're a weak Christian, you're being condemned. You're condemning yourself. Amen? But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, he's a weak brother, now walketh thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Now here's the key verse. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. What is meat and drink? It's natural. It's carnal. I mean, we have to eat. We have to drink. We're still here in the mortal body. But that's not the kingdom. What is the kingdom? Where do we find peace and joy in the Holy Ghost? Where is that found? Is it found in my muscles? Is it found in my stomach? Is it found in where the blood flows through my heart? No, that's not it. It's that invisible part. I mean, the surgeon can cut me open. He's not going to find my soul. He's going to do all kinds of work on my heart, maybe. And maybe I'll live through it, but that's not my soul. He didn't. That's I had the same thing Paul had 22 years ago. My soul is still here. Amen. It's the same soul, but it's being changed. Being changed by Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. So that's what it's not meat and drink. We went to the Philippines and you were with me, weren't you, Rita? We went to that Seventh-day Adventist church. I don't know where it was, somewhere out in another village, out in the jungle somewhere. It was a nice group of people, nice little village out there, and we had a nice meeting. Well, one of the things we did, people started to, did they have instruments of music? I think they did. I don't know, but they were singing a pretty good song, and some of us started to clap our hands like this, and the pastor got up and he said, no, no, stop, stop, don't clap your hands. I thought, well, that man never read what David said. Clap your hands, O ye people, shout for joy in the voice, in the shout of triumph. He never read anything from David, apparently, because he didn't believe in clapping their hands. Well, after the meeting, they served us a nice meal. And you know what? They had all kinds of food that tasted like meat, but it wasn't meat. Really, I don't know how they managed to do that. However, they had a belief that you cannot eat meat. Well, I wondered where they got that from, because they didn't get it from Jesus, because he celebrated Passover. And you know, if you celebrate Passover, what are you going to do? You're going to have a lamb. You're going to feast on lamb and unleavened bread. So it's not just unleavened bread. The kingdom of God is not food and drink. All right? So let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews has something to say about the kingdom of God. By the way, in 1 hour, I can't tell you everything about the kingdom of God. There's no way. I can give you a little hint here, a little hint there, and I can set you on a pace to where you're going to seek it with all your heart. Let me give you another story. You probably heard this before. I don't believe that I really entered into the kingdom of God until I began to hear and understand this message. When I say this message, I mean the message that we're preaching, the message of the kingdom of God. Oh, you can preach the whole Bible and miss this message. Where I heard it first from Brother Campbell. And I don't know what he was preaching, except that he was preaching the kingdom of God. There was a spirit that came with the word he was bringing. And I remember I'm listening to it and I'm thinking, yes, there's something here. There's something. Now my eyes are open. My eyes begin to. Brother, I'd been preaching for 2 years before I heard Brother Campbell. It was, you know, I was preaching a good word. I'm sure I was. It was bringing life. But this word that Campbell was preaching brought another level of quickening to the word of God. And I said, yes, I can see it. I can see spirit. My eyes are lifted out of the carnal. I'm beginning to see spiritual things in a manner that I never saw them before. Campbell left. A week later, I couldn't see it. He came back again 6 months later. He was preaching. I could see it. I could hear it. I could understand it. My eyes were open. He's gone. 2 weeks later, I couldn't see it. Come back the third time. I said, Lord, I keep losing it. My eyes, I can't get it. I read the same passage. I don't get the same life out of it. Now I begin, what did he say? The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. And the violent take it by force. I came to the point where I said, I have to take this violently. In other words, I went before the Lord. I said, Lord, I've got to have that message. I've got to have that understanding. I've got, see, I'd already been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I had the Holy Spirit for quite a number of years already. I could speak in tongues, but I didn't have that quickening to understand the kingdom. I didn't have I had the kingdom in me, amen. I had the kingdom in me, but I wasn't in the kingdom. Christ is the kingdom. I had Christ in me, the hope of glory, but I wasn't in Christ yet. You know, brethren, until you get into the holy place, you're not really in the kingdom of God. I went before the Lord. I said, Lord, I can't lose it because the man left town. I've got to have it. You've got to open my eyes. I've got to see. I've got to see the life. I've got to see the anointing. The word, Jesus said, the words that I bring, they are spirit and they are life. I've got to see that, Lord. I can't just read it. I've got to have that life in me. And then I got it. And then Brother DeCille came. And he opened up. And he just brought every, he just opened up and fired both barrels of the gun. Sister Janet was with me. I said, well, Sister Janet, I didn't call her Sister Janet. I said, well, my dear, what do you think? What did you think? She looked at me and she said, that man is either 100% correct or he's 100% wrong. I said, you got it. You're right. That's the word I've been looking for. That is the message. I was amazed at how this message hits people. It hits people and they say, yes. I remember we were in Scotland at Kilmartin with the brethren, and a family came from way up north, Aberdeen, way up in northern Scotland. Woman, husband, couple of kids. I don't know what we preach. It was nothing special. But somehow there must have been a spirit of a quickening spirit with that word. And the woman came up with it. She was the spokesman. She's the one that spoke. She's a big, tall Scottish woman. Big, big, big woman, bigger than me. She came up and she said, "Where have you been? We have been looking for this word for years. Where have you been?" You know, I never saw the woman again, never saw that family again. But I know that something happened in their heart, something in their soul, the spirit of the kingdom clicked and they were open to it. You see, this is the kingdom of God. Hebrews, I said, I promised a word in Hebrews. Hebrews 12, 25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. The him that speaketh is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on the earth, much more shall not we escape. Escape what? The fire. Amen. If we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then, back in the old days of Moses, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth only, but also heaven. Brother, there's another shaking. If your earth hasn't been shaken already, I pray to God it has been shaken. Why? Amen. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are or can be shaken, as of those things that are made, in other words, man-made religion. Those things have to be shaken. Those things that make up this mega church mentality, it has to be shaken out of people, that spirit, amen? As those things that are made, I'll use the term here, man-made, carnally made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. In other words, when you've been through the fire, when you've been through the shaking, and you've got the kingdom of God, everything else that has nothing to do with the kingdom of God, let it go. Let it go. Let it shake out. Move it. And take up the fullness of the kingdom. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved or shaken, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. He's a shaking fire as well. Amen. Now back, just a couple more verses. Matthew 24. That famous chapter. Matthew 24. That famous end time wonderful chapter. Amen. 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. You know what? Brethren, we still got a little more endurance to go through, haven't we? It's not over yet. You're not finished. We've got to endure. Amen? And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. What gospel of the kingdom is he talking about? More than just repent. When you find that verse in the middle of Matthew 24, it gives me the idea that this gospel of the kingdom includes this end time message, because Matthew 24 is all end time gospel. So back in Matthew chapter 10, just a couple little verses here. Chapter 10, verse 7. He's instructing the apostles, and he says here, as ye go, preach. In other words, you're going to have to say something, you're going to have to open your mouth. Preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, what does at hand mean? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here, brethren. If it was at hand then, we have it now. See that same verse to the 70 in Luke. Luke chapter 10, verse 9, I believe it is. And this is 70 now. This is not the 12. This is 70. These are elders that are being sent out, given the same word, the same commandment, the same authority. Same thing as the ministry. Amen. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. They're still preaching the kingdom. And then to whatever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your way out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. In other words, you didn't accept it. Notwithstanding, or we can say nevertheless, notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Whether you accept it or whether you don't accept it, the kingdom of God is still coming. And your accepting it or not accepting it is not going to do anything to stop it or to hinder it. Now let's finish with a verse in Revelation. Chapter 11 and verse 15. Now this is the seventh trumpet. Remember, we have the seals, we have the trumpets, and we have the vials. So this is the last trumpet, the seventh trumpet. Okay? And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, oh my goodness, saying, the kingdoms of this world, hello, are become the kingdoms of our Lord. There is no kingdom of this world that is not going to be taken over by the kingdom of our Lord. Well, we have a new president now. He's very ambitious about taking kingdoms. But they're just kingdoms of this world, brethren. I'm not going to be worried about it. Amen. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. ever and ever. That doesn't that that's perpetual. That goes on. That has no end. So we are to preach that kingdom of God, and that kingdom that we're preaching is going to be the kingdom of Christ, and it's going to envelop the whole world. Every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess. Let me turn the recording off.